Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the Orlando Magic Daily Podcast. I'm very thankful here to have a radio spot that I did for the Insider Show over on Sports Talk Florida, 1080 AM in Orlando with Eric Lopez. I just wanted to give this brief introduction. On this radio spot, I do talk about the Orlando Magic, but I also talk about a little bit of what's going on on the Orlando sports scene. We've got two bowl games coming up this week in the Russell Athletic Bowl and the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl over at the football stadium. The Baylor Bears playing the North Carolina Tar Heels in the Russell Athletic Bowl, and of course the Michigan Wolverines playing the Florida Gators in a classic battle over at the Citrus Bowl. We also talk about a little bit about the year in sports in Orlando, a very busy year, as well as look ahead to 2016 and the year to come in Orlando. And then we get into the Magic. I just wanted to make sure I shared this with you and gave them a little bit of love. So be sure to catch the Florida Insider Show over on Sports Talk Florida AM 1080 in Orlando. You can also listen to it live online at sportstalkflorida.com. And I'll let Eric Lopez take it away from here.
Welcome to the Sports Talk Florida Insiders Show, brought to you by Universal Nissan Hyundai, near the corner of South OPT and the 417, committed to customer satisfaction.
What a great honor for our team and how far we've come this year, and a bunch of guys playing their tails off, and to come to a great Gator City like Orlando playing the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl. I'd like to thank the committee for giving us that opportunity. I know we're really looking forward to this. I was fortunate to be a part of this bowl a couple years ago when I was at another place, and I just know what a class act this is, and what a great chance for all the Gator fans to get out there and see the Gators playing a really good bowl game.
That's Florida Gator head coach Jim McElwain as the Florida Gators arriving in Orlando to take on the Michigan Wolverines at the Citrus Bowl. This is the Sports Talk Florida Insider Show live from Universal Hyundai at the corner of 417 and Orange Blossom Trail. We got UCF basketball tickets to give away on here. We're here till 1 o'clock. Busy second hour coming up. We'll make our playoff picks later in the show and the college football playoffs, as well as we'll review the movie Concussion. Is that going to make an impact on the NFL? Joining us now, of course, though, we talked about the bowl games. We're going to talk about the two big bowl games in Orlando this week, Russell Athletic Bowl, as well as the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, plus Magic home games this week. This is a busy sports week in Orlando. The Magic tonight hosting the Miami Heat. They host the New Orleans Pelicans on Monday night, and then they host the Nets on Wednesday night. So if you're an Orlando sports fan, first of all, you're going to be very busy in downtown Orlando all week long. And a man that lives there now, in fact, he's right now at his home at the Amway Center, as he always is now, it seems like, every day. My good friend, the editor for Orlando Sports Daily, as well as Orlando Magic Daily, Philip Rossman Reich, joining us. Happy early new year, Philip, and hope the holidays have been treating you well.
The holidays have been treating me well. Happy Boxing Day to everyone. I think that's an English thing.
I like that. Very good. We got a good chuckle out of there from our engineer on that. I want to start with you with the bowl games, and then we'll get into the Magic and the interesting year that it's been. Two bowl games here in Orlando this week. The Russell Athletic Bowl, let's start in chronological order. Baylor and North Carolina, they will play Tuesday. Baylor's banged up, very injured offensively. North Carolina, of course, Gene Chizik, the former defensive coordinator for North Carolina, Larry Fedora. Great year from them. What do you expect to see from the Russell Athletic Bowl on Tuesday?
Well, I'm still expecting a lot of offense. I know Baylor has had some issues at quarterback. That's been the story of their season, just having all the injuries with the quarterbacks, with Seth Russell and Jarrett Stidham going down. It looks like their third string quarterback, Chris Johnson, is going to start, but you know he hasn't put up a lot of yards either, and they're going to rely heavily on their run game, on Shaquan Wood and the really high-powered offense that they have. Hopefully some time to work on some things has gotten them into some type of rhythm so that we can see a good show, because these are two really good offensive teams going up against each other, and it's kind of the exact kind of matchup you want as a bowl game, and hopefully the fans get what they want and we get a good show.
I agree with you. I think we'll get a lot of offense. Kind of unfortunate Baylor's not going to be at full strength, because Art Briles and that offense, when they're on a roll, it's as fun as to watch in college football. But I agree with you. I think it's going to be a lot of offense, and should be interesting how the crowds will be like in that game. Of course, Tuck and O'Neill will be out there live from the Citrus Bowl on Tuesday. I will be joining Mike Tuck for that. The Citrus Bowl, New Year's Day, Florida and Michigan. You went to Florida, so you follow that program very well. How surprised are you by the year that Florida has had, and what do you expect to see from them come on New Year's Day?
You know, I'm really surprised by the year the Gators had. You know, obviously you have a new coach, so you're bringing in a new system. You got players from the old style still kind of hanging around there. I guess I'm not surprised by how good the defense played, because Florida's defense, even under Will Muschamp and all the struggles that they had there, was still very, very, very good. I guess the offense throughout the year was just good enough. And, you know, I'm not as down on Florida's offense as a lot of people are. I think they still have a lot of weapons, a lot of really talented guys on there. You know, you got Kelvin Taylor, obviously, is the running back. They got the freshman receiver whose name is escaping.
Callaway.
Right, Callaway, exactly. He's really good. They've got talent on the field. It's just about putting that talent in the right position to score and executing. And that's something that they've struggled with, especially since Will Greer went down. So, you know, I think, you know, Florida's going to be able to stay in the game because of that defense. And that defense has kept them in just about every game they've played this year, so long as they don't turn the ball over, which is going to be difficult against that Michigan defense, which is also very, very good. So if the Russell Athletic Bowl is a game where you expect both teams to score 30, 40 points, the Citrus Bowl is going to be one where if the first one to crack 10 might win the game.
For people that don't know, Philip Rossman, right, covers the Big Ten as well as another sidekick. He's got many side gigs, but one of them is covering the Big Ten. So you know Michigan very well. Jim Harbaugh in his first year at Michigan has turned things around. This was a Michigan program that had been mediocre, quite honestly, the last few years in the Big Ten. What's turned it around for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, and what will Gator fans see on New Year's Day when they see the Wolverines?
Yeah, I think the big thing that turned things around for Michigan was just the attitude about them. Harbaugh brought in this, you know, everyone knows he's got this kind of this bravado, this confidence about him, and he really brought that to his team. And it's been very apparent by the way they play that they believe they're going to win. They believe that they're, you know, the Michigan of old. They believe that, you know, they can go out and win these games. And you look at, you know, their losses. They lost to a pretty good Utah team in the first game, so maybe they were getting used to some things. They lost to Michigan State on a, you know, crazy block punt return. So, you know, they were definitely in that game and able to take out a team that's in the playoff right now. And then, of course, you know, Ohio State, you know, another really good team that they just couldn't get over the hump against. This is a good Michigan team. They're solid. They're not spectacular on offense. They've got some weapons. Having a senior quarterback in Jake Rudock, who transferred from Iowa as a graduate transfer so he could play immediately, help this team tremendously get over the hump. They've got some young guys on offense. Their best receiver, Jake Butt, has been fantastic out of the tight end position, a really tough guy to handle, and they've got a good running game. So, I mean, if they're able to move the ball, you know, pick up some chunks of yards and keep Florida kind of behind the chains in field position especially, you know, I think that they'd be the team to favor in this game.
One of the big storylines, and I know that you're kind of in the middle of this, is the Big Ten versus the SEC argument in football. And the state of Florida is always in the center of this because the Citrus Bowl, of course, has the matchup, Big Ten, SEC, Michigan, and Florida. A game you will be at on New Year's Day, the Outback Bowl, Northwestern versus Tennessee, Big Ten, SEC. The Gator Bowl, Georgia versus Penn State, is also a matchup of SEC, Big Ten, and, of course, one of the college football semifinals in Arlington on New Year's Eve, Alabama versus Michigan State. How real is this rivalry between the Big Ten and SEC, and how big are these head-to-head games between these two conferences?
I mean, I can speak for the Big Ten. Like, these are big-deal games for everyone in the Big Ten. You know, the Big Ten, over the last near decade now, since that Florida-Ohio State game when Florida upset the Buckeyes and just dominant fashion out in the desert in Tempe, I guess that was in Glendale. It's a big deal for the Big Ten to win these games against the SEC and to say, you know, we're you know, if the SEC is number one, which, you know, again, I might be biased because I'm a Big Ten guy, but I kind of think that claim has been made a little more tenuous of late with how especially the SEC East has played. But the Big Ten, if it wants to be considered the best conference, has to beat SEC teams and has to beat them in these big games. Having Wisconsin lose to Alabama and then Wisconsin kind of fall apart, didn't make the conference look as good this year, and then kept people saying, oh, you know, this conference is a bit of a fraud. We don't really know who they are, because they, you know, didn't play the Alabamas. They didn't play, you know, the LSUs, the Ole Misses, you know, even to some extent the Floridas. We don't know how they match up. This is the time of year when we find out how these teams match up and whether the Big Ten is as good as people seem to think it was all year. I mean, I think the conference as a whole, you know, was kind of very middle heavy, and I think that's generally been the way the Big Ten has been. It's very middle heavy. There's a lot of good teams, but not as many really good teams that kind of push themselves to the national forefront. And so we don't really know how a Michigan State challenges itself until we get to this point of the season. You know, Michigan State played Oregon this year, but that didn't seem to register on anyone's barometers, because their Big Ten schedule was so backloaded with Ohio State coming at the end, and Ohio State again playing Michigan State, Michigan back to back weeks. Their schedule was really backloaded, and so no one really knew who they were. And so these games drive the conversation for the conference.
We're speaking with Philip Rossman Reich of Orlando Magic Daily and OrlandoSportsDaily.com. Philip, it's turned the attentions to, of course, this is the final, we're down to the final days of 2015. In your opinion, what is the biggest story in sports in Orlando of 2015?
I think it's the emergence of Orlando City soccer. The first season in MLS went so far beyond, I think, the expectations, certainly my expectations for what that team could do. I mean, I followed them through the USL years, and they were setting minor league, you know, attendance records, but to see just the growth of the team and the support throughout the city has been really astonishing. Watching, you know, every single car in the city seems to have a purple magnet on it for Orlando City. They were, I think, set the expansion franchise attendance mark. To see the bowl filled, you know, with 60,000 fans for that first game, and to see them have to expand their new stadium because there's just so much demand for tickets. I don't think anyone could have expected this team to take off the way that it did this year. And even though they didn't hit their mark on making the playoffs like they wanted to, undoubtedly it was a very successful season for Orlando City. And I'm interested to see what they do for an encore starting in March this year.
It's going to be a lot of storylines into 2016. You mentioned the encore of the second season. You got the women's professional soccer team, the Orlando Pride, with Alex Morgan as the face of that team. A new soccer stadium to be hopefully finalized by the summer, to be opened. So really a lot of storylines for the soccer deals. What are you looking forward to seeing the most in 2016?
You know, the thing I'm looking forward to most in 2016, honestly, may not happen till the very end. I'm really intrigued to see what Scott Frost does with UCF. Coming off the 0-12 season, it feels like momentum for that program has really halted, or at least slowed down. The Fiesta Bowl luster has definitely worn off, but it seems like, you know, with the new athletic director, with the new coach, there seems to be a new energy about that whole program. And I'm really, I know it's not going to be till August, so we'll have to wait a little bit, but I'm really interested to see what they do with that program, because, you know, everyone seems to say it. This is a college football town. We're going to get, you know, we've got the three bowl games, obviously. We've got Florida State doing their spring practice here February and March. We've got the kickoff game starting between Florida State and Ole Miss. This is still seemingly a football town, and it would be good for Orlando to have UCF back, you know, at least. I mean, not being competent, but it would be nice to have them back being competitive for American championships. They touted winning back-to-back American championships, and seeing an 0-12 season that came completely out of nowhere, they became a laughingstock throughout the nation. And, you know, that's something that needs to change in this town, and something that has a lot of growth potential for 2016. So I'm very interested to see how they bounce back next season.
Yeah, it should be interesting. That Florida State spring game, April 9th. At the Citrus Bowl. And, of course, Florida State will have their regular season opener against Ole Miss here at the Citrus Bowl on Labor Day night as well. So lots of football coming in Orlando. Let's turn your attention to the Magic. That's where you're at. The Amway Center, the Magic coming off that win over the Rockets. They take on the Miami Heat tonight and continue this homestand with the Pelicans on Monday, the Nets on Wednesday before the new year. How critical is this week on the Magic? And your thoughts on the Magic under Scott Skiles season one? That's been an underlining big story in Orlando sports, the return of Scott Skiles, who formerly played with the Magic. And so far, as we go into 2016, I think it's exciting that for the first time in 4 years, we might be talking about a team that's in playoff contention.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote this. I wrote a little bit about this last night, so it's up on the site now. You know, Scott Skiles has raised the expectations around here completely. I mean, the move to bring him in as the head coach has worked, I think, better than anyone anticipated. Certainly than I anticipated, because I certainly had a little bit more of a conservative view about how this team was going to grow and improve this year. But you know, we're sitting here at just after Christmas. You know, when the standings start to normalize and the Magic are right in the playoff conversation, which is certainly all you could ask for. And frankly, you know, being I think they're a game or two behind second place. They're three games behind the Cavaliers for first place in the East. They are right in the thick of a very packed Eastern Conference. These next three games, including tonight against Miami, are humongous for the Magic to close the month out. They've already secured a winning record for December, and that was certainly a goal that the team had, to have a winning record each month. So that would guarantee them a winning record for the season, but to win these next three games at home before they head out on the road in early January is absolutely huge. They've got a difficult schedule coming up. Magic have played not a easy schedule by any means, but they haven't played a lot of difficult teams yet. And if you look ahead on the schedule, February is going to be really, really tough, especially heading into the All-Star break. They've got the London trip coming up in mid-January. They've got a fair amount of road games coming up in January. Winning games during this home stretch that they had toward the end of December was absolutely critical, and the Magic have done that. You know, we looked up, it was a stat that was brought up during the availability this morning, and something that I double-checked here. The Magic have the third-best record in the NBA since they made that lineup change on November 25th. The only teams that have a better record than them are the Spurs and the Thunder. Or not the Spurs and the Warriors. They're tied with the Thunder, actually, for third, which is pretty incredible to say, considering where this team was the last few years. And so to see this kind of growth has been really incredible, and fans should be really excited, you know, for the rest of the season. I mean, we're not even at the halfway point, but I'm pretty certain that this team's going to stay in that playoff conversation and be one of the teams that are going to be, you know, hanging around in April playing meaningful games.
That is that's good news to hear. We haven't said that in a while, Philip.
Yeah, true.
That is it's great to hear. What's the last question before I let you go? And I know, because you got to get back to shoot around. The biggest surprise so far of the season for the Magic, and then the biggest question you have going into 2016 about the Magic.
You know, I think the biggest surprise of the season has been it's not so much a surprise that the defense has come around, because that's what Scott Skiles does, but to see it make this stark of a change has really been great to watch. I mean, it's something that they've been talking about for 2-3 years now, of being a defensive team, and now we're seeing it. And what's honestly been surprising to me is that we haven't seen too many individual players take a huge step up. I mean, obviously Evan Fournier has played extremely well and better than I think most of us expected, taking that starting job of. But Tobias Harris's scoring has been down. Everyone's scoring seems to be down. I mean, Victor Oladipo didn't take kind of the star leap that we all expected from him this year, but he's still been very good. You know, just because guys haven't put up individual numbers doesn't mean they haven't been very good this year. And I think that's been the biggest surprise, is that everyone has sacrificed themselves for this goal to win games, and it means a lot to them. And that isn't surprising if you've been around these guys. They took losses hard the last few years, but they've been put into a system that gives them a chance, that gives them a real chance to succeed, and that's been really encouraging to watch, to see them take to that system, sacrifice themselves, and do what's good for the team, and they're getting the results for that, obviously.
That's Philip Rossman-Wright. You can check out his work at OrlandoSportsDaily.com and OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Philip, tell the audience what they can expect on both of those websites if they go check it out.
Yeah, well, you know, OrlandoMagicDaily.com, obviously we're working on covering games, and they come fast and furious. We'll have a lot of kind of, we're at a point in the season now where stats have normalized and the standings have begun to normalize. So we're, you know, kind of taking some stock of the season now as we enter the new year and getting ready for that playoff push. As for Orlando Sports Daily, we'll have, you know, complete coverage of the Russell Athletic Bowl, as well as the Citrus Bowl coming up. I'll be at the Russell Athletic Bowl as well on Tuesday, you know, we've got some Orlando Solar Bears hockey back in town this week and this weekend, and so it's been a while since we've seen the Solar Bears. They're struggling a little bit right now, but they're still an incredibly fun and interesting team to watch. So we'll have some stuff on them as well as UCF basketball.
He's one of the busiest men in the market right now, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if he's had any sleep. I don't think he knows what sleep is. If he does sleep, he just sleeps at the Amway Center in between shoot-around and game night.
I've got my sleeping bag rolled up in the media room right now. I'm going to take a quick nap before the game starts tonight.
Well, that's awfully nice. I will let you finish up shoot-around in that nap. I will see you tonight, sir. I appreciate you taking the time. I'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much for having me on, Eric.
No problem. Philip Rossman-Reich of OrlandoMagicDaily.com and OrlandoSportsDaily.com.
Thanks again to Eric Lopez for having me on the Sports Talk Florida Insider Show. Again, you can listen to that 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday on 1080 a.m. in Orlando, as well as streaming online at SportsTalkFlorida.com. If you liked what I said about the Orlando sports scene, please check me out on our new sister site, OrlandoSportsDaily.com. You can follow me there at ORLSportsDaily.com. That's ORLSportsDaily.com, or not .com, but at ORLSportsDaily on Twitter. We should be making a Facebook page very soon as well. And, of course, follow me on Twitter for Orlando Magic information, at OMagicDaily and OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next time here on the Orlando Magic Daily Podcast.